Oh, Heavenly Father, you are good and upright. It is us who are sinners. Lord, we are in need of you. We are in need of your instruction. Lord, we ask that you would humble us, that you would teach us your ways. Lord, we thank you for blessing us so much. We thank you for giving us your word. Lord, I ask as we open it now that you would teach us. Lord, I pray you'd protect everyone here from my error, that we would hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two truths that we see in Proverbs taught over and over, oftentimes even in the same verse. And they are that, number one, we are terrible sinners. We are terrible sinners. And number two is that Christ is perfect, and he is an amazing redeemer. You see, all throughout the Proverbs, especially in these sections that we're in now, we see verse after verse, the bad compared to the good. Now, every time the Proverbs describes the bad, the wicked, the foolish, the naive, the sinner, it is describing us, you and me. All of those terrible things that the wicked do and say and think about, that is us. We are the terrible sinners that the Proverbs are describing. It's describing us, natural man, apart from Christ. And when the good, the wise, the prudent, or the righteous are described, we get to see Christ. He is the wisdom of God. He is the only one who matches the description of the good. And it is only because of Christ and his redeeming work on the cross that we can be like him. By the grace of God, slowly but surely, we are made more like Christ. For without Christ, we could never be considered wise or prudent or righteous. So what a blessing we have here to be shown in the Proverbs what we are really like apart from Christ, and also to be shown Christ and to be shown the effects that Christ has on those whom he redeems. So Christ gets all the glory. Isn't it truly amazing? His work of redeeming sinful man. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. So let's begin this morning in verse 15. The naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. Here in this verse, the naive is compared to the prudent. And the difference is not just that one is gullible while the other is skeptical, but it is really a matter of responsibility. To be careless is irresponsible, while being careful is really at the core of taking responsibility. This verse tells us that the naive believe everything, but the prudent doesn't. The prudent man does not believe everything. It also tells us that the prudent man does something that the naive does not do. The prudent man considers his steps. So let's first consider the naive. They believe everything. They do not consider their steps. You see, sometimes we tend to feel sorry for the naive, for those who are led astray. We want to place all the blame on the wicked people who tricked them. And we make the naive out to be an innocent victim. But here we see that the naive are guilty of not being careful, guilty of being irresponsible. You see, the naive hear someone speaking and they believe them. They read something in a book or a paper, anywhere, and they believe what was written. The naive are nothing like the Bereans, and we'll get back to that in a little bit. They are easily led astray because they are not careful. They are irresponsible. They do not investigate for themselves to see if this is truly the way they should go. The naive are going the direction that they are going because someone pointed that direction and said, go that way, it's a good way to go. And so, without thinking about it, without considering their steps, they simply believe them and go that direction. And it is because of their irresponsible and careless approach to the steps that they take that they oftentimes find themselves in trouble and in bad situations. Think of an example. Now, there are any number of examples, any number of ways that the naive suffer for being careless. It's oftentimes the naive who go surety for strangers and suffer for it. It is the naive who do not listen to correction, but continue on their path to destruction. But for one specific example, turn back to Proverbs chapter 7. I'll read verses 6 through 8, and just listen to how this young man is described, and notice what direction he is taking in his steps. Proverbs 7, 6 through 8. For at the window of my house I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive, I discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner, and he takes the way to her house. Here we see that the young man was naive. He was lacking sense. And we see here also where it led him. He went the wrong way. He went near her corner. He took the way to her house, to the house of the adulteress. So the naive believe everything. They are easily misled. They are irresponsible and do not consider the consequences of the steps that they take. But the prudent man, he is responsible. And he does not believe whatever he is told. But he considers what steps he should take and whether or not to believe what he has heard. When the prudent man processes information, he usually considers at least three things before he decides what to do with it. Number one, who? The prudent man considers who told him. You see, he understands that natural man is evil, and so he considers the source of the information. Number two, he considers what? The prudent man considers what was told him. He thinks about it. Is it possible? Does it make sense? In light of everything else I know, is it reasonable? And number three, he compares. Now, this is the most important thing that the prudent man considers. We must never forget this one. The prudent man compares the information that he has heard to what God has said. You see, he knows that all men are liars compared to God. And so when he reads things or hears things, he doesn't just believe them, but he compares them to God's infallible word. the Holy Bible. And this is really exactly what the Bereans did. As the Bereans heard the words of Paul and Silas, they did not just believe it and go on, but they received the words and then examined the scriptures to see if what they were told was true or not. There is great danger in believing everything, as the naive do. But we must be prudent, like the Bereans, examining the scriptures daily and comparing everything to God's word. I cannot stress enough how important this is. We need to take this responsibility seriously. Listen, as I studied the Bible and prepared a sermon to share with you all this morning, I have a responsibility as a preacher to not add or take away from what God has said. And that seems very obvious to all of us. We understand easily that a preacher is responsible to not lead others astray. But this verse speaks more to the responsibility of the hearers to not be led astray. That each of you have the responsibility this morning to not just believe everything I say up here, but you must listen and study the scriptures yourselves and consider your steps. Listen, every time we sit down to hear a message, we need to understand that we have a great responsibility as listeners. Listen to Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. That really sums it up, doesn't it? This is what it is to be prudent, to be responsible. Don't believe everything. Examine everything and consider your steps and hold fast to the good and abstain from the evil. The naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. Verse 16, a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. Now this verse is similar to the last one. Here the wise man is compared to the fool. One is humble, while the other is proud. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil for at least two reasons. Number one, he turns away from evil because he knows of the destruction that evil brings. He is aware of the harm that would come upon him if he fell into sin. And so he pays attention and is quick to turn away from evil when he sees it. He recognizes that you cannot take fire in your bosom and your clothes not be burned. You cannot walk on hot coals and your feet not be scorched. Basically, he understands that sin has consequences. You cannot indulge in sin and avoid the consequences. You cannot sin against Christ and it not affect your relationship with him. And secondly, he is not only cautious because he knows of the great destruction that sin brings, but he is cautious also because he knows that he is prone to sin. So he is humble. He knows that he is but a man, prone to sin and being deceived. And so he is cautious and careful because he recognizes that he is weak. And he is not above falling into temptations. So he must always be on guard and be quick to turn away from evil. But a fool is arrogant and careless. Any way you look at it, pride hinders a man's judgment. Pride hinders a man's judgment. Either the fool is arrogant in thinking that he would never fall into sin. And so he sees no need to be cautious or to keep his distance from evil. Or he is arrogant in thinking that he will be crafty enough to be able to enjoy sin and know when to get out, when to abandon it, to try and avoid the punishment. Either way, his arrogance prevents him from using sound judgment and causes him to be careless, taking risks and eventually suffering for it. This verse describes very well the effects of pride and humility on our behavior. The effects of pride on the fool in this verse reminds me of the effects of too much alcohol in a person. It dulls the senses. It dulls the mind. It really puts you into a stupor. It gives him poor judgment. When he is intoxicated, he thinks that things are a good idea, that if he had been sober, he would have never considered doing, because common sense would have prevented him. So also, pride has a similar effect on our judgment. Our pride blinds us from seeing our surroundings clearly. The fool is arrogant and careless. He should be careful, but because of his pride, he isn't. There are warning signs all around him, yet his arrogance still affects his judgment. And he says, "I know what I'm doing. I'm sure this will work out. There's nothing to worry about." But he's wrong. And like a drunk, his judgment is impaired. But it isn't because of alcohol. It's because of his pride and his arrogance. So a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil. But a fool is arrogant and careless. Verse 17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. Here in this verse, the quick-tempered man is compared to the man of evil devices. Oftentimes in Proverbs we see the good compared to the bad, but in this verse, here we have the bad compared to the worse. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. This man we would typically call a man with an anger problem. It seems like he is always angry about something. He's always blowing up at people. He does not keep his composure or have self-control. If he is offended or upset about something, you will know it. You will immediately see an outburst of anger. And he will act foolishly. He will do things that are not wise. He will say things he shouldn't. He won't bridle his tongue. And so because he lets his anger get the best of him, he reacts quickly and foolishly. And while that is bad, the second guy is worse. And a man of evil devices is hated. This is the man who does not appear to get upset. You may have heard the phrase, "Don't get mad, get even." Well, that's wrong. That's bad. But it describes this man's motives very well. When he is offended, you won't know it. He has self-control. He restrains his anger. But it isn't because he is wise and wants to prevent himself from doing or saying something foolish in the heat of the moment. No, it's not that at all. It's actually much closer to the opposite. He is restraining himself only for the purpose of giving himself more time to prepare and plan ahead and look for a better opportunity to harm you greater. And for this, he is hated. So one man has a short temper and reacts quickly and foolishly, while the other man hides his temper. He uses evil devices and waits for the perfect time when he can do the most damage, and then he releases his anger. And he is more destructive and causes more damage, and people hate him worse. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. Verse 18. The naive inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Here we see the naive compared to the prudent again. But this time, the focus is not on what they sow, but on what they reap. The naive reap what they sow. They are careless and irresponsible. They have pursued worldly things and chased after what has no value. And so they are rewarded with the folly of their way. They inherit folly. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 52. Here we see a description of the folly that the naive inherit. Psalm 52, 1 through 7. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. And the righteous will see and fear and will laugh at him, saying, Behold, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and was strong in his evil desire. So the naive inherit folly. But the prudent, they also reap what they sow. The prudent, whose eyes have been opened to the glorious truth of the gospel, they live life with real purpose. They pursue things above. They are responsible and careful. And God is blessing them with knowledge. Turn with me back to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2, 1 through 10. My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your ear to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. True knowledge comes from God, and he showers these blessings down upon the heads of his children. So the naive inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Verse 19. The evil will bow down before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Here we see that evil and the wicked will bow down before the good and the righteous. This verse should fill our hearts with great hope and humility. This should give us hope because we look around and at times it would appear that the wicked ones are the ones in high positions, treading down the righteous. But we are given hope here because the day is coming, just as it did when wicked Haman led Mordecai on horseback through the city square, honoring him. The day is coming when the evil will bow down before the good. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So there is great hope and encouragement for those who are in Christ, those who are good and righteous with the goodness and righteousness of Christ. But this verse also brings us humility, because we know that there is no goodness or righteousness that could ever be found in us apart from Christ. So the righteous will be lifted up, while the wicked will be brought low. The evil will bow down before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. In conclusion, may we be responsible. May we examine all things, clinging to the good, fleeing from the evil. May we be humble and use sound judgment. May we have self-control and not act out of anger. And may God work in our lives so that our lives may be a testimony of one who has been redeemed, a life changed by Christ. For we certainly are all terrible sinners, but Christ is an amazing Savior. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we are utterly hopeless apart from you. Thank you so much for the Proverbs. Lord, for showing us our depravity. Lord, we tend to think that we're not really so bad. But Lord, the Proverbs make it clear. Oh yes, we are. We are that bad. Lord, we thank you that you have not left us in this state, but that you have redeemed us. We thank you that you have shown us Christ. We thank you that you are at work in us, working Christ's righteousness in our lives. Our only hope is Christ. We thank you that you have opened our eyes, that you have continued to work. Lord, we pray that you would continue to humble us, that you would continue to show us that we have no hope anywhere other than Christ. May you receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.